I'm the associate vicar here. It's lovely to see you. And we're going to be thinking about that passage today and thinking about Jesus' power and authority and what that means for us. Before we do that, let's have a prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you with surrendered heart, mind, body, and soul. We ask that by the power of your Spirit, your word would be woven into the fabric of our deepest part of our very being, that we may know that we are your children, that our strength comes from you, that we may know the glory of the salvation that Jesus has won for us, and we may know the filling of your Holy Spirit to equip us to change the world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 2 weeks ago, we were thinking about Jesus' baptism and temptation in the desert, and thinking about how he managed to resist temptation in the desert by depending on the Holy Spirit and by relying on God's every provision. And we had the analogy of the phone and the adapter, if you remember, if you were here. If you weren't here, just encourage you to go online and listen to that sermon 2 weeks ago. And the analogy is that we're a bit like a mobile phone. And our original state, we're designed to be connected to God, the power source, if you like. And what Satan tempts us to do is to do things in our own strength. To say, I don't need God. I'll do things my own way. And when we do that, that separates us from God. And we do things in our own strength with a limited capacity in our own battery life, if you like. That runs down and we burn out. Jesus never knew what it was to be disconnected from God. But through his cross, the Lord rose Jesus from the dead. And Jesus, when we put our faith in him and ask forgiveness and reconciliation, we can be reconnected with God again, drawing upon his grace, his love, his power, his authority, back to the original design we were supposed to be, connected with God, our Heavenly Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we learn that Jesus learnt this discipline in the desert, that he was able to depend on his Heavenly Father for his every need, even fasting for 40 days, by relying on the Holy Spirit. And I think that God this morning wants to teach us that through this passage that we had read today as well, to learn how to depend on our Heavenly Father for our every need. And if you remember, I shared with you that just like a newborn baby can do nothing to earn its parents' favor, yet the parents still love that newborn baby with an unconditional love. And in the same way, we are God's children, like newborn babies, and as our Heavenly Father, he knows what we need before we even ask him. He loves us. With us, he is well pleased, just as he is with his Son, Jesus, well pleased. And so it's out of that place of relationship with God, relying on him for our every need, that we come to think about power and authority and the power and authority of Jesus. So that's where we're headed. What I want to make clear is that the only way we can be restored to our Heavenly Father is through the cross of Christ and Jesus' death on that cross. It's the only way. Any other way is just an incompatible adapter. Nothing else can connect us with God. Only Jesus' death on the cross. But once we are reconciled with God through Jesus on the cross, when we repent and say sorry for our sins, we are reconnected. That's what Jesus wins for us on the cross. And if you like, in this analogy, the Holy Spirit is given to us to energize us, to supply God's strength to us as we live and work for him. And so we're going to explore this model this morning of how Jesus learns to depend on his Heavenly Father, not earning his Father's pleasure, but just simply because he is God's child. And how Jesus, remaining obedient to the Father, depends on the Spirit and is able to do amazing things, as we shall see. You see, this morning's passage, we have demons fleeing, we have healings, all sorts of amazing demonstrations of God's power and authority being done through Jesus. And the reason Jesus was able to do these things is because he had learned to draw his strength, power, and authority from his heavenly Father by depending on the Holy Spirit. And I believe Jesus wants to teach us to do the same. That to follow Jesus means that we need to learn how to depend on our heavenly Father, to depend on the Holy Spirit for every aspect of life. Except in our case, we do that through the cross of Jesus. He's the one that connects us with our heavenly Father. But Jesus does these amazing things because he is depending on the Father and relying on the Holy Spirit. His whole life seems to flow out of that relationship with his Father and dependency on the Holy Spirit. And what does that life look like? Well, it's a life of power and authority. But Jesus' power and authority was not derived or imposed with weapons, swords and spear, or with the privilege of position. No. His power and authority is one of love. Because God is love. And this love is shown in two ways. First of all, it's a love declared and it's a love demonstrated. Have a look at verse 38. This is a love declared. Jesus is declaring God's love. Jesus says that the reason he has come is to preach. We know from Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 4, that Jesus' preaching mandate was derived from Isaiah 61. Which says this: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for prisoners, sight for the blind, release for the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus, depending on his heavenly Father, is able to discern his Father's will. And he declares the mighty acts of God: freedom, healing, release from oppression, proclamation of the Lord's favor. He is declaring God's love. And as Jesus continues to draw on his Father's strength by depending on the Spirit, not only is he able to discern and declare his Father's will, but he's able to demonstrate God's love, and he backs up his words with action. It's not just a love declared. It's a love demonstrated. Look at verse 41. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man who had leprosy. And indignant, he says, "I am willing to heal you. Be clean." And immediately the leprosy leaves him and he's cured. Jesus declared God's love and he demonstrated. He backed up his declaration with demonstration of God's love. And he draws his strength and power and authority from his Father, dependent on the Spirit, declaring and demonstrating God's love out of that relationship. So we've seen that the nature of God's power and authority is love in action. But now we're going to see that God's power and authority through Jesus is unstoppable and supreme. You see, Jesus drawing his strength from his Father and dependence on the Holy Spirit, his authority, or rather God's authority through Jesus, I should say, knows no limits. Look at verse 27. It's power and authority over evil. The demons flee. Verse 31. It's power and authority over physical illness, over Peter's mother-in-law. I'm sure some of us husbands would value that authority. Verse 41. Power and authority over social evils. You see, the man with leprosy, he would have been cast out from the villages. He wouldn't have been allowed in for fear of the disease spreading. So by Jesus healing the man of leprosy, not only is he restoring his health, he's restoring his dignity and he's restoring him back into the community. The power and authority of Jesus knows no limits. Over every evil, over every sickness, over social ills, religious ills, he has authority, God's authority. And as we read through the Gospel, there's no power in heaven or earth that is greater than the power of Jesus. Name above all names. Not even death could hold him. He rose again from the dead, having been crucified. all of this made possible because Jesus learned to draw his strength, his power and his authority from his Father and to rely on the Holy Spirit. Now here's the punchline. So if you drifted off and gone to sleep, this is the point where you need to wake up. Here's the punchline. We're called to do the same. John Wimber, who started off the Vineyard movement, didn't have much of a church background when he came to faith, and he went along to a church and there were some faithful, long-standing Christians there praying and worshipping together. And after a few weeks, he went up to one of the church leaders and he said, "When do I get to do the stuff?" And they looked at him with an eyebrow raised and said, "Well, what stuff?" He said, "When do I get to do the stuff that I read about in the Bible? When do I get to see God's power and love declared and demonstrated?" See, the whole point of Jesus coming to earth was to reconnect us with our Heavenly Father, just as this model here, so that we could learn to draw our power and strength and authority from our Heavenly Father again. He restores our humanity back with God. So I want to challenge you with a question to go away and think about this week. Did Jesus do his miracles in his divinity or out of his humanity? I believe that Jesus reconnects us with our Heavenly Father so that we can discover what it is to be truly human again. That is, to be in a right relationship with God without sin. And he does that through the cross. When we say sorry, when we repent, and we are forgiven, we are reconnected with our Heavenly Father so that we too are given the authority, God working in us, to declare God's love to the world and to demonstrate it. In the words of Peanuts, the theological implications are staggering. See, Jesus calls us to surrender to the Father and rely on the Spirit so that through us the world will be transformed by his Spirit living in us, seeing God's saving love and grace in action. And this isn't an option. You know, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus today, you can't opt in and out of this. There's a mandate for us. Jesus calls us to do this. We see it in the life of his disciples too. Mark 6, Jesus sends out the 12 disciples with his power and authority, changing the communities with demonstrations of love in action. Luke 10, the 72 are sent out, again, demonstrating God's love with declaration and demonstration. Matthew 28, the Great Commission, very end of Matthew's Gospel. The disciples are told by Jesus to go into the world, teaching them, making disciples, and teaching them all that I have taught you. All that I have taught you. See, through Jesus, we're reconnected with our Father. We surrender to his love and will, following and relying on the Holy Spirit for every aspect of life. And we're commissioned to preach the good news through declaration and demonstration of God's love to the world. And that love has power and authority over everything. To defeat evil, to bring healing, to tear down social, racial and religious barriers. The same love that brings good news to the poor, freedom to the captives and relief to the oppressed. It's very, very, very exciting. I hope you're excited by this. God's Spirit living in us once we're reconciled with God. That's how he changes the world. We're here to change the world and God has decided in his infinite wisdom to do that through us. Amazing. Mind-blowing. So let that sink in. So what does this look like in practice? What does this mean for Monday morning? Well, thankfully, Jesus teaches us once we've been reconnected through our Heavenly Father through repentance and believing in his death and resurrection, receiving that forgiveness and restoration to God, we can remain in him and continue to rely on the Holy Spirit for every aspect of life. And three quick thoughts as to how we can maintain and be in good relationship with our Heavenly Father made possible through Jesus' death. First of all, there's a rhythm to Jesus' life. Look at verse 21. He's in the synagogue. Verse 39. He's in the synagogue. A regular pattern of worship of Jesus. A friend of mine, when I was going for ordination, who also was going for ordination, shared with me this beautiful picture of worship being like the lungs of the church, or the lungs of the worshipper. As we come, or God draws us to himself in worship week by week, it's like he breathes us into himself. He fills us as we read his word, and as we share communion together, and we pray, and as we sing his praises. He fills us with his spirit, breathing us in, drawing us into himself, and then sending us out in the power of the Holy Spirit. And again, we come back in. He draws us into himself, fills us with his strength and power, sends us out. Regular worship. It's like the lungs of the church. Just encourage you to come to church with expectant hearts and minds open, ready to surrender to God, saying, Lord, would you change me to be more like Jesus as I come and worship? Speak to me through either the prayers or the words, through your holy word. Whatever aspect you choose, Lord, we surrender to you. We surrender to you. Come and have your way amongst us so that we can be changed to be more like Jesus. There's a rhythm to Jesus' life. Furthermore, being in the synagogue, they would have been studying God's word together. They wouldn't have had Bibles like we had them. They'd have had a scroll for the whole community. And they would have interpreted God's word together, challenging each other with it, reflecting on it, interpreting it and putting it into practice for each aspect of their lives. It was a communal exercise. That's why we have small groups. If you're not part of a small group, join one so that you can come and learn about God's word together, challenge one another, encourage one another, so that we can learn and hear God speaking together through his word. Vital, much more fun to do it together. By the way, do you know you can read Mark's gospel in about an hour? It's a really, really, really good exercise to do. Challenge to do it again. Just spend some time with God's word together. Do it as a small group. Read a chapter each and go round it. You can do it in an hour. Really great to do. But it's really important that in all of these spiritual disciplines, if you like, particularly as we approach Lent, that they're not an end to themselves. They are a vehicle for us to connect with God, to grow our relationship with him. It's not an automatic process if you pray and if you read your Bible that, you know, God is going to speak. He wants our hearts. We come to him surrendered to allow him to speak and to shape us. So there's a rhythm of worship. There's a rhythm of studying his word as a community. And then I love this next part, Jesus' prayer life. Have you ever thought to yourself, why does Jesus need to pray? I don't have the answer to that, but it's a great question. Have a think. Why does Jesus need to pray? But here he is, verse 35. Jesus gets up very early in the morning and goes to a solitary place to pray. And he's modeling that time spent with his Father, just like at the baptism. You know, before he'd done any earthly ministry, any miracles, any healings or anything like that, the Father says to Jesus, you are my Son, with you I am well pleased. Jesus hasn't earned his Father's love through doing ministry. God loves Jesus because he is his Son. Same for us. And here, look, Jesus is here at the beginning of the day, before he's done anything. He's just spending quality time with his Father, hanging out with God, praying, talking. That's all prayer is, really, talking to God. Drawing his strength from his Heavenly Father before he does anything with his day. And then I love, look what Simon and his companions come and do. Verse 36, I can just try and hear his voice in here. He says, Jesus, what are you doing here? Why are you wasting time? Come on, you've got emails to answer. You've got the school run to do. You've got to get on the train before it gets too busy so you can get a seat. You've got to get to work. What are you doing praying here? Everyone is looking for you. You feel that pressure? I know I do. Constant pressure, isn't there, to to get on with life, get stuck in and get on with the day before you've started anything. Well, look, I don't know why Jesus needed to pray, but he did. And here's a good example of us, for us, praying with his Father before he starts anything. They say that 68% of statistics are made up on the spot. Apparently 70% of us get fatigued with information overload once a week on several surveys done, that we reach that point where there's just, I can't face answering another email, I can't stay on Facebook any longer, I can't go on the internet again, I don't want to watch any TV, I don't want any information, I've seen hundreds and thousands and thousands and thousands of images throughout my week, I just need a break, I'm going to stop. We reach that breaking point where I can't face any more information. You know, we're finite beings. We can only take in so much information. How much information are you receiving from God? How are we supposed to draw strength from God if we're not spending any time with him? Here, Jesus models for us quality time with his Heavenly Father. So as I come to a close, I want us to think a little bit about our rhythm of life, regular worship, studying God's Word together as a community, praying, spending time with our Heavenly Father. What a great prayer to pray. Maybe you can make this your prayer. I've been challenged to do this. Whether you've got a presentation at work or you've got a deadline with your essays at university or you've got some important conversations to have with people, whatever it may be, have a think through your week now and just simply pray, Lord God, help me to do these things in your strength, not my own. Would you be Lord over every aspect of my life? Would I bring you glory in everything that I do? I surrender my heart to you, that your will be done, not mine. And as you pray, pray with expectation that God is going to answer those prayers. And we learn to rely on the Holy Spirit just as Jesus did in the wilderness. That our eyes are open, our hearts are open, our ears are open to see the Holy Spirit at work as he goes ahead of us into our days. Get alongside that colleague and just say, you know, is there anything I can pray for? Or is there someone they need to forgive and they don't know how to do that? Perhaps you can lead them in a prayer about how to forgive someone. Just allowing God to influence every aspect of your daily working lives. So important. Mark 13:11, Jesus says, don't worry about what you're going to say. Just say what's given you at the time. The Holy Spirit is with you as you minister and work alongside your friends and colleagues and family. But all of that amazing stuff that Jesus does flows out of that relationship with his Heavenly Father and his dependency on the Holy Spirit. And I believe if we can learn to do the same, then we too will be empowered to declare God's love with power and authority, because it's God's power and authority working through us. I'll leave you to think that through a little bit more. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, forgive us for when we've done things in our own strength. And many of us here this morning are tired and burnt out, not just from doing things in our own strength, but just from the sheer amount of information that we're bombarded with week by week. So would you give us courage to spend time with you? And Lord, we ask by your grace and mercy that when we spend time with you, you would speak to us about what you would have us do. Help us to surrender our very lives to you and give us the courage to follow you and to depend on you and the Holy Spirit for every aspect of our daily living. And we thank you so much that Jesus died for us, that we can even have a relationship with you, that we can be reconciled with you, reconnected with you, restored to our original design, if you like, to be in relationship with you and to partner with you in transforming the world with love, grace, truth, and mercy. And we thank you that you are the name above all names, the Lord of Lords, and that you equip us to transform the world with the saving news of Jesus. We ask these things in his precious name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing our final song, which is Open the Eyes of My Heart. It's just a song of surrender, saying, Lord, come, reveal more of yourself to me. May I see more of what you're doing, and would you equip me to live and work for you? So let's stand and sing Open the Eyes of My Heart.